Welcome, sisters. Pretty cool Christmas sweaters all over the place. You guys pulled those out, very nice. The reason this class works so well, and we have such a great turnout, is because of the wonderful women that you don't see. But they're in the nursery. And I wanted to read you their names. Those of you that have kids that you put in there, and those of you that don't, that get to hang out with women that put their kids in the nursery. I just wanted to read you their names. Hazel Quigley, she really runs this class. Audrey Hinckley, who's in charge of the nursery and just fed all of the nursery leaders this morning, and with the help of Jamela, always. Let's just put you on the thank you list for everything. Thank you so much. Barbara Barrett, Karma Shepwe, Carol Wright, Dorothy Lee, Heidi Ellis. You know, I think of Heidi, she loved coming to this class. And when they asked her to go back into the nursery, she said yes. Pretty cool. Megan Wagner, Pat Trombley, Teresa Heath. Some of these women have been doing it all the years we've been in. I know Teresa has. Amy Murdoch, Ann DeMille, Dan Bagnus. We have some men back there that are awesome. David Howells, Eric Dallin, Evelyn Henriksen, Layla Kovalenko, Mary Bagnus, Mavis Neely, Peggy Goodmanson, Aaron Balls, Angie Shapui, Barbara Hill, Carol Morgan, who just had knee surgery yesterday, Krista Peterson, Dixie Wagaman, Richard Gibbs, and Roger Westman, and a big shout out to President Jensen, who always fills in and is always a part of making our nursery run. I just wanted to share with you those names because so many things happen behind the scenes that make this possible. And I think, where would Jesus be? He'd be in the nursery. As we commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ 2 millennia ago, we offer our testimony of the reality of his matchless life and the infinite virtue of his great atoning sacrifice. None other has had so profound an influence upon all who have lived and will let yet live upon the earth. This is from the living Christ. He was the great Jehovah of the Old Testament, the Messiah of the New. Under the direction of his Father, he was the creator of the earth. He went about doing good, yet he was despised for it. His gospel was a message of peace and goodwill. He entreated all to follow his example. He walked the roads of Palestine, healing the sick, causing the blind to see, and raising the dead. He taught the truths of eternity, the reality of our premortal existence, the purpose of our life on earth. He instituted the sacrament as a reminder of his great atoning sacrifice. He was arrested and condemned on spurious charges, convicted to satisfy a mob, and sentenced to die on Calvary's cross. He gave his life to atone for the sins of all mankind. His was a great vicarious gift in behalf of all who would ever live upon the earth. We solemnly testify that his life, which is central to all human history, neither began in Bethlehem nor concluded on Calvary. He was the firstborn of the Father, the only begotten Son in the flesh, the Redeemer of the world. Of the living Christ, the prophet Joseph wrote, "We saw him." Excuse me. "Now, after the many testimonies which have been given of him, this is the testimony, last of all, which we give of him, that he lives. For we saw him, even on the right hand of God, and we heard the voice bearing record that he is the only begotten of the Father. We testify that he will someday come to the earth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. He will rule as King of Kings and reign as Lord of Lords. Every knee shall bend, and every tongue shall speak in worship before him. Each of us will stand to be judged of him according to our works and the desires of our hearts. We bear testimony as his duly ordained apostles that Jesus is the living Christ, the immortal Son of God. He is the great King Emmanuel, who stands today on the right hand of his Father. He is the light, the life, and the hope of the world. His way is the path that leads to happiness in this life and eternal life in the world to come. God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine Son. I want to say that together. God be thanked, everybody. God be thanked, and then for the matchless gift of his divine Son. Let's all say it together. God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine Son. Let's teach our children that last phrase. God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine Son. You know, it's right that we celebrate the birth of the Savior. But it's only right as we celebrate the birth of the Savior that we celebrate why his birth was so necessary and important. And that is because of his atoning sacrifice. So today is something really special. I wanted to share with you something that I know most of you have seen, but we're going to do it a little differently. Ashley Richards gave me a CD of the most beautiful testimonies of prophets and apostles of this dispensation about our Lord. And while you're watching this DVD, I'm going to turn it down and I'm going to turn up the words of these apostles, and I want you to just watch and listen to these testimonies for the next 15 minutes. And as you do, I want you to just think about something. You know, now that I'm a mom, and as my boys are getting older, I find myself feeling sad because I can see them just growing up and going off and, you know, not needing me as much. But I still have the opportunity. I still keep them safe. I mean, my whole focus in my life is to keep my boys safe, to help them gain their testimonies. You know, that I know that's your focus too. And I've already talked about, you know, the thought of anyone hurting my children. I live in a heightened sense of wanting to beat people up all the time because I just love my boys so much. And so I think, hey, how can I at least make our home a place of safety? And then I think about our Heavenly Father. And it just takes my breath away. Because of the gift of his Son to us. And I want you to think about him this season, to think about him giving his boy to us, knowing that he would be rejected, knowing that his best friends would not only betray him, but they would deny him and they would run. He gave us his Son knowing of the unfairness of the trial. He gave us his Son knowing that he would be stripped, beaten, and whipped. And he did it anyway because he loves you so much and he loves your children. And he did it anyway, even knowing that his precious boy, who had never done anything wrong, would be brutally nailed to a cross. You know, where was Heavenly Father when his Son died? He was quiet and silent, allowing his boy to die so that all of us could find happiness and peace in this life. So as we think about Jesus, as we should, let's add him to the equation, as we also should, the depth of our Father's love in giving his Son to us. May we never, ever, ever omit him from the equation. God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine Son. Would you look up here?
Of Jesus Christ, and as his humble servant, it is now my privilege, as the Spirit dictates, to bear pure testimony and witness that which I know to be true. This I will do. I testify that in our pre-born state, our elder brother in spirit, even Jesus Christ, our foreordained Savior, in the plan of salvation, he is the captain of our salvation and the only means through whom we can return to our Father in heaven to gain the fullness of joy.
The creation, the fall, and the atonement were planned long before the actual work of the creation began. He who, under the direction of the Father, had created the earth, subsequently came in mortality to do the will of his Father and to fulfill all prophecies of the atonement. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Penetrating them.
and much of what he saw pierced his heart. Surely his ears heard every cry of distress, every sound of want and despair. To a degree far more than we will ever understand, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Indeed, to the layman in the streets of Judea, Christ's career must have seemed a failure, a tragedy, a good man totally overwhelmed by the evil surrounding him and the misdeeds of others. In the entire history of the world, no one has ever loved so purely or served so selflessly and been treated so diabolically for his effort. Yet nothing could break his faith in his Father's plan or his Father's promises.
Leaving the upper room, Jesus and his friends crossed the deep ravine east of the city and came to a garden of olive trees on the lower slopes of the Mount of Olives. There in the garden bearing the Hebrew name of Gethsemane, meaning royal press, olives had been beaten and pressed to provide oil and food. There at Gethsemane, the Lord suffered the pain of all men, that all might repent and come unto him. He took upon himself the weight of the sins of all mankind, bearing this massive load that caused him to bleed from every pore.
Even in those darkest hours at Gethsemane and Calvary, he pressed on. With blood appearing at every pore, and an anguished cry upon his lips, Christ sought him whom he had always sought, his Father. Abba, he cried. Abba. Or from the lips of a younger child, Daddy. A son in unrelieved pain, a father his only true source of strength. Both of them staying the course, making it through the night together.
And when the morning was come, the chief priests and his enemies took counsel against Jesus to put him to death, and they bound him and led him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. He was taken to Calvary. At the third hour, they crucified Jesus, and with him they crucified two thieves. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And after 3 days, very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women came to the sepulcher with spices to anoint the body of Jesus. They were greeted by a young man in a long white garment who announced, "He is not here. He is risen."
Mortal experience points evermore to the atonement of Jesus Christ as the central act of all human history. The more I learn and experience, the more unselfish, stunning, and encompassing his atonement becomes. How to reveal that Jesus knows how to succor us in the midst of our grief and sicknesses, precisely because Jesus has already borne our griefs and sicknesses. He knows them firsthand. Thus his empathy is earned. Of course we do not comprehend it fully, any more than we understand how he bore all mortal sins. But his atonement remains the rescuing and reassuring reality.
You can make the decisions you choose to make. Should your choice be wrong, it's a path back, repentance. When its conditions are fully met, the atonement of the Savior provides a release from the demands of justice for the errors made. He said, "I, the Lord, cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance."
hope and the love of God, and of all men feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. There has come in my apostolic comment a sure witness of the blind mystery of Savior. I declare with Job, I know that my redeemed liveth. My witness of this is in heaven.
So giving his life in pain and unspeakable suffering, he has reached down to lift me and each of us and all the sons and daughters of God from the abyss of eternal darkness holding them. He has provided something better, a sphere of light and understanding, growth and beauty where we may go forward on the road that leads to eternal life. My gratitude knows no bounds. My thanks to my Lord has no conclusion.
Let us hold fast to the iron rod. The Savior urged us to put our hand to the plow without looking back. Let us then move forward. Let us continue the journey with the lengthened stride. I know with all of my soul that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross, resurrected from the dead. He is the risen Lord, the great presiding high priest, and he stands at the head of the church. Of this I testify to you, my beautiful brothers and sisters.
And now, as pertaining to this perfect atonement, wrought by the shedding of the blood of God, I testify that it took place in Gethsemane and at Golgotha. And as pertaining to Jesus Christ, I testify that he is the Son of the living God, who was crucified for the sins of the world. He is our Lord, our God, and our King. This I know of myself, independent of any other person. I am one of his witnesses, and in the coming day I shall feel the nail marks of his hands and in his feet, and shall wet his feet with my tears. But I shall not know any better then than I know now that he is God's almighty Son, that he is our Savior and Redeemer, and that salvation comes in and through his atoning blood, and in no other way. God grant that all of us may walk in the light, as God our Father is in the light, so that according to the promises, the blood of Jesus Christ his Son will cleanse us from all sin.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the chief cornerstone of this great work. Of his divinity and reality, I bear solemn witness. He is the Lamb without blemish who was offered for the sins of the world. Through his pain and because of his suffering, I find reconciliation and eternal life. He is my teacher, my exemplar, my friend and my Savior, whom I love and worship as the Redeemer of the world. In his holy name, amen.
To honor our Savior and our Heavenly Father today, The following people are going to participate as we celebrate how wonderful and awesome they are. Today we'd like to hear from Kara Carlston on the piano, Michelle Williams on the cello, and they are going to play O Come Emmanuel, followed by Rachel Grayson, who will share her testimony. Then we'll hear from Natalie Rayback on the violin and Lorraine Larson on the viola, accompanied by Kara Carlston. Why don't you just sit there, just stay there the whole time. And they are going to play the first Noel. Is that right, Natalie? Where are you, buddy? You're right there. Yeah. Then we'll hear from Blythe Lindley, and she will share her testimony of the Savior, followed by Michelle Williams on the cello, Kara Carlston on the piano, and Nancy Baird will sing Heirlooms, followed by my sweet mother bearing her testimony. We'll go to that point.
Thank you. boy. When Diane asked me to do this, I got a lump in my throat that hasn't left since. So I'm looking forward to being able to swallow again. But for the last couple of days, I've had the great opportunity to think about nothing but how I was going to express what my Savior meant to me. And this year, he has literally been my absolute Savior. This has been a very unique year for me, marked by sort of a private trial. It's one of those trials that people don't bring you dinners for, and one that every week I would look around this room and wonder what battles you all are fighting that aren't seen or known about. And it's been the kind of trial that has knocked me to my knees over and over again, because it can only be fixed by him. But it has also caused me to question the depth of my commitment to him. I've always been proud and freely called myself a Christian. No problem, I'm a nice person. I go to church on Sunday. I give my change to the bell ringers. I even believe poor people should have access to healthcare. I'm a Christian, right? But this year it became a lot more personal and a lot harder to see if I truly was a follower of Christ. Because Christ asks us to forgive 70 times 7. But what if somebody does something that you actually kind of thought was unforgivable? Can you really forgive that? Did he really expect you to forgive that? He asks us to do good to those that persecute us. But what if somebody hurts you in a way that you don't know if you can get out of bed in the morning? In some ways, maybe you can't. Are you really supposed to get out of bed and then be nice to that person? Like, surely he didn't mean I was going to do that when I was hurt as bad as I was, right? And do I really believe that he can take sins that are scarlet and make them as white as snow? Because I'll be honest, I think before, I thought it was just the pink ones. You know, the ones that weren't so bad. But I'm so grateful that I've had this chance to prove that I really do believe him and follow him. And I've learned that knowing about him is much, much different than truly knowing him. And the more I get to know him, the more I can feel how he knows me. Because I have had days where my heart has been so heavy that I literally could not stand it. And I would sink to my knees and pour my heart out through my tear ducts. Not even with words, because they wouldn't come. And at the end, just kind of say, amen. But still feel like it was heard. And I was healed. Boy. And as I've gone through this year, I can testify the truth of these words by Elder Holland, that surely it is better to find the goodness of God and the grace of Christ, even at the price of despair, than to risk living our lives in a moral or material complacency that has never felt any need for faith or forgiveness, any need for redemption or relief. So even though it's been really hard, you don't appreciate that relief until you need it. You don't appreciate how sweet the sweet is until you've tasted the bitter. And the thing that's been really amazing to me is that all these things that he asks us to do that feel so hard, he doesn't do it for his sake, he does it for ours. He does it because he knows that's the only way we're going to be free and peaceful again. And I've had moments where I didn't think I was going to be happy again in this life. I was just going to wait for the next one. But if I could do what he asked me to, he fixed it. I'm so glad Diane made us repeat that. I was going to actually, I've noticed she closes these meetings with, "God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine son." And I want to testify that his gift is truly matchless, because when you need him, there is nothing else that will work. This year I've kind of turned into one of those moms that doesn't want to do Santa Claus, because I just want to be focused on Christ. And I want my kids to feel that matchless gift. So I add my gratitude and my testimony. And I say these things, of my testimony of him, of our Savior, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Today. I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I don't get up here very much to bear my testimony, especially when I feel like I have so much to be taught by others. Let me share with you Doctrine and Covenants 6:21. It says, "Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am the same that came unto mine own, and my own received me not. And I am the light which shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." Christ was born at such a time of despair, a time of change and so much going on, and his birth signified so much to them. It gave them the miracle they've been looking for, the salvation they needed. And I believe, and I truly do know, that his birth, the celebration of it at Christmas time, that it is no coincidence that we do celebrate it at this time of the year. A time when the days grow shorter and the the nights grow longer and the cold kind of sets in, and we're kind of coming to the end of the year and kind of remembering all that has happened, all the trials and all the good things and the blessings that we have received. I know that it is through his birth that we celebrate, that all the miracles that came to pass after that, the atonement, the resurrection, all of those great things that we do celebrate, is such a special time, especially knowing that all those miracles gave us the way to make it back to our Heavenly Father. And I do know, and I bear testimony, that if we focus on Christ and his birth and the light that comes from it, that light will overcome any and all darkness that prevails and any trial or testimony that can come about. I do know our Savior lives and that he was born for us, for everybody. And I leave this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I used to help her walk. Now she helps me walk. Each morning and evening, as I lean my arms upon the windowsills of heaven, I talk to my Heavenly Father in my prayers. I tell him of my heartaches. I tell him of my wants, of my desires. I tell him how I feel, and he listens to me, and I have focused entirely on me. My heartaches, my cancer, my not walking well anymore, all the things that have been adversity in my life. And then I stop and ponder, and I turn my thoughts to Jesus Christ and my Heavenly Father. And I think of Him, my Father, and what He has done for me. And I think of Jesus Christ, my Savior and Redeemer, and what He has done for me. And I find that I begin to cry. And I cry so hard that my nightgown is wet with my tears. For He is everything to me, and nothing that I have endured can compare to what He has endured. I remember standing in the Garden of Gethsemane with Diane many years ago and felt the anguish that He experienced. I remember how thirsty He was on the cross. I remember that He did this all for me. And I find that I have no heartaches. I have no complaints. I have nothing but gratitude to a loving Heavenly Father and a divine brother, my Savior and my Redeemer. And I have come to know that He knows me and that He loves me and He knows who I am. He hears my prayers. He blesses me. He wants me to be happy. And I have discovered that there are no ordinary days. Every day is an extraordinary day because of my Heavenly Father and my Savior, Jesus Christ. So when I put my feet over the side of my bed every morning and get up, my heart is so full of joy, happiness. I am giddy with pleasure for the dawning of a new day, and all because of my Heavenly Father's love for me, my children, and for you. And when I think of my Savior and what He endured for me, so I have the gift of the atonement, the gift of the resurrection, and the gift of eternal life. I am overwhelmed with gratitude. I know that He lives. I know that He is my Savior and Redeemer. And I pray for the rest of my life. I will be obedient as He was obedient to His Father. I'm grateful to be Diane's mother, for she teaches me so much. I'm grateful for all of my children. I'm grateful to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I say this in His sacred, beloved name, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen.
Right before Jesus went into Gethsemane, He said, Behold, the hour comes. It's now come, he said. You shall be scattered, every man to his own, and you shall leave me alone. And then he said, yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Sisters, you are enough. Right now, just as you are enough to him. You are everything to him. And when I think about just everyone that's participated today, I just think about sweet Kara playing the piano, having gone through so much over this past month. And I think about her just playing that piano and the strength and the testimony and the example that she is to us. And it's all because of her testimony and her witness and her love for our Heavenly Father and His Son. And I honor her for being here today with sweet Caleb. Sisters, I bear you my witness that Jesus is the Christ, and that we are the most blessed people on the face of the earth, because we have that wonderful understanding that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us so much that He sent us His Son. What does Heavenly Father do all day? He does you. You're it. Sisters, God be thanked for the matchless gift of His divine Son. God be thanked for the matchless gift of His divine Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.